When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Burning Questions podcast with myself, FPL Harry, and it is great to have back with me my usual co-host. It's nice to have guests, but there's a little bit of something comforting about having Andy back with me. How are you doing, first and foremost?
Yeah, it's good to be back. I think a two-week hiatus. We had some great guests, and good job on you holding down the fort. Excited to be potting with you again. Excited to rant. I know yesterday we were talking about what should we talk about for the agenda today, and both of us said, let's just continue to rant all day. So I know all of us are struggling. If you look at my background, I'm in sunny Cologne, Germany today. I wish the construction stuff wasn't out there, but it's a beautiful day out here, and it's good to be back in Europe, zoning the same time zone as you for the first time. So good to be back, Harry.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you to everyone joining as well. We have a lot to cover. It has been, the worst game week, quite hands down, of the season so far for pretty much everyone. I think it's had the lowest average so far of any game week. Unless you have Julian Alvarez or you have Mo Salah, you basically are looking at a red arrow, it feels like. Unless you've got, of course, there are some differentials that may have done well, like if you've got Diaby. But of the highly owned, you know, template players, unless you have Alvarez and Salah, you're staring at either a medium red arrow or a very big arrow. So we'll go through all of that. We'll have a look at our teams. We're going to have a look at every position today, apart from goalkeepers. Still no goalkeepers that are standing out to us at the moment. And we don't have time when we need to do defenders, midfielders and forwards as well. So yeah, today we're going to have a look at all of those burning questions in the land of FPL. If someone in the chat, as always, if you guys are enjoying, you like these streams, make sure to hit the like button. Make sure you're subscribing as well, and if someone could just give me a thumbs up to make sure that the stream is all sounding and we're about the same level of audio as well. But without further ado, let's get the worst part of this stream over and done with. Let's have a look at our scores game week so far. So let us know in the chat exactly how many points you got. I've got 34. I still have Turner to play. It's up in the air about whether he's going to feature or not at all. We both have Pickford first sub. There's not much really. I have Bukayo Saka. He got 6. I brought in Fabian Schär this week, but I sold Saliba, so I didn't really gain anything there. I captained Erling Haaland, so I got 12 from him. And apart from that, there are very few points for me. But yeah, go through yours very quickly and then we'll move on.
No, there's no need to go through mine. By the way, I think you missed out on a couple of differentials that possibly gained you rank this week. Watkins being 122% owned. Yeah. The Trippier Botman guys as well. If you had Newcastle, good on you. I think Flapjack's in the chat. He had Robertson out of all players. So shout out to Flapjack on that.
Yeah, true.
And as you mentioned, Diaby's 13% owned, which is a very surprising stat to me. Mm-hmm. So good for you guys. There was just no points to be had. I thought going into the final Arsenal game, I literally had 0 returns going into the Arsenal game. Of course, I had to, captain Son. I will say this is not a hindsight take. I was a little hesitant on captaining Son. So in the end, I went with a sort of gut vibe type of thing. I mean, he's my favorite player. I do have to go for him when mm-hmm. he's a genuine shout this week. But I was afraid that Ainge hasn't proven himself against the low block yet. So I was just thinking that there was only going to be 1 or 2 or 3 maximum goals, and whether Son would be involved was the chance I took.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like a very convincing captaincy shout. It was sort of a vibe thing for me. So I'm very lucky that Haaland, after 5 big chances, got away with 1 goal. We survived. So I think that was the only positive I'll take from this week. But besides that, go ahead.
Well,
go ahead.
Haaland was the biggest underachiever in terms of XG this week.
Yeah,
no one correct. Else under underachieved as much. He had 2.5 XG, 5 big chances with 1 goal. No one else missed. I mean, getting 2.5 XG in a game is pretty mad. Not many people do that in the first place. But for him to only come away, it was both great from Areola, but also mm-hmm. we saw Haaland miss chances that normally he wouldn't. So Yeah, the Son one's interesting. I feel like before the game, you're quite unlucky, I feel like, to get nothing. But having watched the games, you're lucky to not have been punished more than you were, I would probably say.
Yeah, I mean, right off the bat, I'm actually confident going into this Arsenal-Liverpool game. Like, one of the reasons I brought him in is that I actually thought the Sheffield game, obviously on paper, is the best game, and we expected him to do better. But I was also decently confident going into the Arsenal and Liverpool game because there's opportunities for him to sort of exploit the back line. And, you know, he doesn't need that many chances. He needs one or two or three chances because he's a lethal finisher. So yeah. I would just hold, you know, we brought him in for a reason. We have Game Week 8 Luton coming up. I would just hold on and hope that he gets some returns in the next two games against Liverpool and Arsenal. It's funny, this whole like Haaland thing and how FPL works, Harry, because I was on the flight and got off at like literally at when the second half started, right? So, you know, what's the very first thing I do as soon as I got data on the phone is not check. I didn't even check the Spurs score. I checked Man City score first because I was just so scared. And the last 2 hours on the plane before it arrived, I was just like, you know, kind of shitting my pants, right? And
yeah.
I got off the plane. I see that, you know, I have no idea what the XG looks like or how the game's going. And I see Haaland hasn't scored anything. Super excited, you know, kind of like thinking that I got away with it. Get through immigration. There's like 5-10 minutes left. And, you know, he scores in the, 86 minute or something. And my whole just like mood went down in the final few minutes. Yeah. So looking back on it now that I've seen the extended highlights and sort of the statistics as well. Very lucky we got away as non-captainers this week.
Yeah, honestly, traveling or being without signal when there are games on and there are highly owned players playing is the worst thing. You land or like you, I don't know, where you're on a, or yeah, wherever you are and you get signal and you check. This hour before you're able to check, I feel like is the most stressful time. I've definitely had it before. I had it when, do you remember when Trent scored like 20 points against Leicester? And everyone, like loads of people sold him and I landed and I had kept him and that was a great one. But the other week I was on a flight when Pickford played Sheffield United and I landed and saw that he scored an own goal and I was like, oh God, it could have gone a lot better. But anyway, first up,
one thing I'll say, Harry, sorry. The funniest, I mean, this is how ridiculous FPL, like what this does to you is, so that was a 12-hour flight for me from Seoul to Frankfurt.
Yeah.
And I was even considering, let me sleep at the last part of the flight instead of the start of the flight so that I don't have to stress the final hour. Yeah, it's just it's funny what this game does to you, but we enjoy it for a reason, right? But
yeah.
Again, this week was a very terrible week for a lot of people. I think it's important to take a little bit of a chill, you know, pill for the next couple days. Champions League coming at full force over the, you know, midweek. So I wouldn't make any early transfers, but yeah. I think, you know, don't make any rash decisions is what I like to say.
Yeah. I've just realized that you get Gabriel off your bench, don't you, for a Stupinan?
Correct.
So you get a little bit.
But even that, I'm not happy with it because you Saliba owners have one up on us. So.
Well, I don't have Saliba. I sold him this week.
Oh, okay.
I did. So my transfer this week was Saliba to Shaw. I wanted to get ahead of Newcastle. I wanted to give Kabore another chance to get back into that Luton team. Not necessarily that he's the best. I didn't want to make a goalkeeper transfer. I didn't want to sell any of my midfielders in the end to Son. So actually the only, I should have sold Jackson in the end, but that wasn't really it wasn't going to happen. So I did Saliba to Shaw, knowing that I didn't actually want Saliba for about the next four game weeks now. So I'm one ahead of it, but then he beat Saliba by one. So I'm 1 point up. I'm better set up going forward. But the Newcastle defence, I wouldn't be surprised, and we'll talk about them in a minute. I wouldn't be surprised if it's over 100% ownership this week. I think that's how high it's going to go this week. But first up, go on. Now let's just put the fixtures up.
It's a good point you're making because I think when we get to the Newcastle section, I would really like to discuss with you about the potential of doubling up on their defense. Because as you mentioned, everyone's going to have one this game week, most likely.
Yeah.
So 100% EO is definitely going to be there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the reasons we'll talk about, we'll go into potential, you know, midfield defenders, midfielders, forwards in that order in just a moment. Always a nice place to start for us is the fixture ticker, looking at the next six game weeks. So, of course, the fixture tickers and data, predictive points, everything favours teams with extra fixtures, right? So Luton at the top because they have a double in game week 7. Burnley second because they have a double in game week 2nd and game week 7. After that, Aston Villa, Liverpool, Newcastle, Brentford. But I suppose it's worth having a look at Aston Villa and Liverpool. It's very much weighted by their fixtures from game week 9 onwards, whereas Newcastle's are very much weighted by their next few fixtures, right? So Aston Villa, Liverpool are high up on the next 6, but actually if you were to weight it to the next 3, Aston Villa having Chelsea, Brighton, Wolves away, and Liverpool having West Ham and then Spurs and Brighton away, they wouldn't be nearly as high, right? So Newcastle feel like the best short-term fixtures. Brentford are also up there, right? So Everton and Nottingham Forest in the next 2. And then right down at the bottom, part of the reason I decided to sell Saliba this week is Arsenal, bottom of the fixture ticker overall for the next 6 game weeks. So, I mean, not much to take away. It's just a nice thing to set the scene, just to think about potentially the teams that we want to be looking at. And it really does feel like Newcastle are going to be forefront a lot of the chat today.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't even look too far ahead because we do have another international break coming up before game week 9. So yeah. For me, when I was looking at the fixture tickers, I was more focused on game weeks 5-7 or 5-8, especially with the European fixtures coming in starting this week. So yeah, I mean, Arsenal, there's not much really to deep dive into Arsenal, Harry, because we don't really own much of them. A lot of us are going to sell their defender. Yeah. So I don't think Saka is like an urgent sell for me personally. So that's about it in terms of Arsenal's fixtures.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about Saka actually, but we'll talk about it when we get to the midfielders because, yeah, I mean, I don't want to give it away, but I find him quite infuriating to own actually.
Okay.
Especially when I watch the games. He doesn't necessarily pass the eye test for me, but we'll do that when we get to midfielders. So the next graphic we've got, I'll let you talk through. It starts to have a look because, of course, Champions League starts between the midweeks of game week 5 and game week 6. And then I think game week 6 and game week 7 there's also fixtures as well, depending on what group you are in. So yeah, this has a look at the spacing that each of the clubs has between games. So you can start to see the likes of Manchester City, Arsenal, United, Newcastle having a lot of red spacing, which I think is a two-day clear gap with no game on. So if the game is in the evening, it doesn't count that, right? So yeah, I mean, I'll let you talk through this one.
Yeah, so the red gap is 2 days. So I like, for example, if they played on Wednesday and then they played on, I believe, Saturday, that's like a 2-day gap in between because you got Thursday and Friday. Yeah. This is by Lego Mane, the great Lego Mane on Twitter. So do give him a follow if you have a chance. It's a very good graphic for times like this when fixtures congestion starts to come into play. And it's also good for us. It's very easy to analyze if you like really look into it. And we just have to look at the next, I would say, 2 or 3 or 4 game weeks before game week 9 again. And the Man City one is very interesting to me because a lot of us, Harry, are talking about Alvarez, but I have some concerns with this congestion, right? So they just played and on Saturday.
Yeah.
They get a 2-day rest. They play Champions League at home tomorrow. So it is an easier opponent. I can't even pronounce the name, but I'm assuming it's an easier opponent. Again, Champions League is one of those animals where there's no real easy opponents. It's just one of those allures of playing in the Champions League, right?
Yeah, well, it will be the team that was... So pot one will play pot four. So it will be the weakest team, in theory, in their group.
Okay, great. So let's say that, Man City does really well and are able to finish the game off early, which as FPL managers or Alvarez owners, we are kind of hoping for. They get some rest and then they get a solid 3 days. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday before a Saturday, I believe it's a 3 p.m. game versus Nottingham Forest. And so we assume that Alvarez will likely start this game, right? We have to go. If you're going to bring in Alvarez this week, you have to bet that he's going to start this game, or we get a leak that he starts this game.
Yeah.
But you have to keep in mind next week, there's a very important matchup against Newcastle in the Carabao Cup after Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 3-day rest. So again, 3-day rest. I believe that fixture is away.
Yes,
and
correct.
From there on, Man City have like 3 or 4 away games in a row. So another very big factor moving into the following week. So they play that game next week, I believe, Wednesday.
Yeah.
But the fixture I'm really worried about, Harry, is the one after against Wolves on Saturday, which is, I think, a Thursday, Friday rest. And then it's Wolves.
Saturday. Yeah.
Correct. And then a 3-day rest before Leipzig in Champions League again, and then 3-day rest for Arsenal, which I'm not worried about the Arsenal game. Most likely you're going to field your strongest team, yeah, which Alvarez seems to be part of. So if we're bringing him now, let's say the Arsenal game in game week 8 is a lock, you could also get away with it by, for example, bringing in Morris for the likes of Archer and just starting him over Alvarez, if just in case, you know, he's not available for that game week 8 fixture. Do we, you know, assume that he's going to play this game against Wolves next week? It's a question mark to me, right? Yeah. But all the quotes and things are pointing to the direction that Alvarez is undroppable. He is still very young. He is still, you know, that in that team, he can play a lot of minutes. But maybe we have to be a little bit hesitant on bringing him in with the assumption that he might just end up playing one or two games out of the next three in the Premier League, which we matter for. And we'll get to the Jackson talk, but think about Jackson like being just an awful asset, yet he's definitely going to start the next three games. So that's my sort of dilemma with Alvarez, but I'd like to know your thoughts on this fixture congestion.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing stopping Jackson playing the next three is on 4 yellow cards, which is crazy, right? So he's one yellow away from being suspended, which is very possible. He doesn't look like he's got the like mental strength to not get booked as well.
Right.
Like,
right.
I watched Chelsea play and I just like, he's shouting at the ref like all the time, and it's happened every game. I think like three of them have been for not for tackles as well, which is seems crazy, but it could be that he gets suspended. My initial thought for Manchester City, the only thing I would say is actually looking at their squad depth at the moment, that it isn't there compared to how it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Grealish is not fit at the moment. Kovacic is not fit at the moment. So there is a little bit of... They've, of course, sold Cole Palmer as well, who, like, that Newcastle Cup game would be ready-made for Cole Palmer to start, for example. It's interesting how I think Pep lines up, particularly in that Cup game, right? So that Newcastle away fixture, on paper, it's a difficult fixture, but we know a lot of the top clubs early on in these competitions don't go heavy with their first team squads in these cup competitions.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it feels like, and it probably doesn't happen, but it feels like managers agree on it because both the, you know, when Chelsea played like against them last year, there's suddenly two second string 11s coming out, and it's like they've decided between them that that's what they're going to do. But anyway, I look at that Newcastle one and think that is where there's going to be some rotation. I think he definitely starts Arsenal, and I think he definitely starts at least one of the next two.
Right.
I suppose the doubt comes if we get news that he starts in game week 6, then great. I think I may end up going there. What is annoying, particularly for the Jackson to Alvarez move, is if I'm going to buy Alvarez, I'm going to buy him just before the deadline. Like that is what I feel like you have to do. If he doesn't start on Tuesday, then potentially you can go earlier. Because if he doesn't start Tuesday, I cannot see him missing out for those two games in a row. But I think he's going to start Tuesday. So if he does start Tuesday, you have to wait till Saturday. But the issue with that is Jackson's going to drop at least once, and Alvarez is going to rise at least once. So that's a minimum of a 0.2 swing. It could even end up being 0.3 or 0.4 come the deadline, depending on how much goes close on that Friday night, which is what concerns me. But he has said he's undroppable, but he did say that about Nathan Ake last year. In the very next game week, he put Ake on the bench. So I don't
buy those quotes. Yeah,
I don't really buy those quotes. It's just the lack of depth that I don't really see who he benches him for at the moment that is what's potentially leaning me to go and get him. And I look at a lot of the forwards and I don't really know who else I want to buy. He's in the team that's going to score the most goals. And when he creates chances for someone else, he's creating chances for other players who are the most likely to score them as well. So it's not like you look at some of the Chelsea players and they put up like one XA, for example, and then maybe they get an assist. Alvarez creates half a chance and it's to Haaland, right? And Haaland's more likely to capitalize on that. So he doesn't need as good as underlying data as some of the others to start getting those returns. He's also a great finisher. I am going to keep an eye on it. And if he starts Forest, I think I'll buy him. I think he'll be in my team. Slightly off topic, but yeah, I think it's a good place to start. Alvarez is a good example of it.
No, it's not off topic. And just a couple, three things on that. First thing is you concerned about price rise. I think it's genuine, right? Because for me, as someone who lost 0.2 on Gabriel, I can't believe I still have him. When that wild card comes and we want Salah, Haaland, I haven't done this exercise yet, but there's a potential that that point something is going to make a difference in getting maybe another 8.0 midfielder versus the field. So that's the thing about price rise, is that I would also be I would also consider as a factor in my decision making. Yet, you know, we have to bet on the fact that he's playing this NFL game this Saturday. If he doesn't start this game, I just don't think he's worth it. Let's say he starts this game. That's the alternative I presented to you, is that maybe you don't have to trade out Alvarez in game week 7. If there's any news that he doesn't start in game week 7, you could get to the Morris through, I don't know how much Morris costs, but I still have enough money in the, how much?
5.5.
Okay, so he's quite expensive, but the alternative I had is if you don't go Trippier, you could do Archer to Morris and just have both those players and have him before you wildcard him out in game week 9 or 10, right? So. Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That was another thinking I had. But yeah, the Alvarez one is tough. And the last point I'll make is that we're talking right now about this fixture congestion, and I'm presenting to you how, you know, they have 4 away games after the NFL and they have very little time in between games. So I'm concerned about the game week 7. But, you know, FPL Spaceman on Twitter made a very, very good tweet that I really enjoyed. I'll try to not curse. He says, FPL is a bit like playing chess against a pigeon. No matter how strategically I plan my moves, the pigeon just knocks over the pieces and who's on the board. So it just goes to show maybe Alvarez's points are there to be had this game week. And we might be over planning just because of fixture congestion.
Yeah. Just on a couple of the other teams then. Very quickly, because City, of course, are a hot topic. Manchester United, I can't see Rashford and Bruno missing games. Whether we want to keep them or sell them is another thing. And I think it falls similarly for Arsenal, that I don't see the likes of Saka missing games. Martinelli out now, potentially for a while. We don't know the length of that injury. Gabriel Jesus and Nketiah are probably concerns for me, because we could see either of them start. But I think Arsenal and United, I don't see massive rotation. And Newcastle, we've spoken about it to death, that in attack, I see a lot of rotation, as we saw at the weekend, right? And in defence, I don't see very much.
I think I would disagree with the United situation, Harry, because let's take a look at the United fixture congestion here on Lego Mounties chart. Okay, so United, right? I think we're a bit blinded by how good their fixtures look on that initial fixture ticker you showed.
Yeah.
But if you look at this congestion period, first of all, they're shambolic right now, right? They're not playing well.
Yeah.
Yes, Bruno and Rashford are playing well, but you know, they're very reliant on Rashford and the team is not looking good. And I go back all the way to when I think United were playing really well after the World Cup, when Rashford was in the form of his life and Ten Hag had sort of conquered this pressing in the Premier League and they were playing fantastic football. But remember at that period we were thinking about, like, once the European fixtures come into fold, like, United assets are going to really struggle cardio wise. You sprinkle Europa League as well as their run to the Carabao Cup final last year, and then a very intense sort of preseason as well. I think they're lacking the legs. The fitness is not there. There's players like sort of walking around in the fixtures that I've been seeing. And so they go away to Bayern on Wednesday, which is a very difficult fixture, full team at strength, and they're probably going to struggle in that game. 2 days after, they travel away to Burnley. And then 2 days after, they go to Crystal Palace on a Tuesday night. And then 3 days after, they play at Crystal Palace again. I don't know if they stay in Crystal Palace or go back to Old Trafford and travel back. But
yeah,
it's very intense scheduling as well. And then, you know, Champions League against Galatasaray, which they have to win because my assumption is that they're going to struggle against Bayern Munich, right? So it's not like it's not all flowers on the fixture ticker because of not only this congestion, but also I go all the way back to January again. There's just been, you know, Ten Hag has one way of playing, which is press, press, press. And I think he needs to adjust for this. Casemiro is looking awful as well. We'll get to this section eventually, but I don't think I'm not very confident that they're going to be very good key assets in the next few game weeks because of the points I just made.
Yeah, fair enough. The again, I do look at the cup fixtures and think I expect that to be where they potentially rotate, right? Like Garnacho in for Rashford in the cup just feels like a ready-made change for them. Mm-hmm. I think there's probably enough positives for me that they need points against Burnley that I expect Rashford and Bruno to still play that game. But maybe long term, like, I mean, the thing is they need points in the league so badly that if he suddenly comes out in any of these games and has like Rashford on the bench and they don't pick up points, the backlash you'll get from that is crazy given where they're already in the league. So he's walking a tightrope because if he starts favouring the Champions League, which he needs to, and moves his eye off the Premier League, he's putting himself in quite a dangerous position. But we're half an hour into the pod and haven't got past the fixtures. So first up, looking at defenders. So what we've got on the left here is the expected goals conceded so far for all the teams in the league. And then on the right-hand side, you've got the XGI of the top, I think, 15 or so defenders. So you've got best defences in terms of clean sheets and then the best defenders in terms of attack. You've also got it split by XG and XA. So, for example, you look at Cash versus Chilwell, for example. Overall, their data is not massively different, but Cash is massively weighted towards XG, whereas Chilwell, for example, is massively weighted towards XA. So looking at the top defenders we've got here, a few interesting ones. So City are at the top. However, looking at their fixtures, looking at the Champions League, I still don't feel like it's a massive place I want to invest. They could easily keep two clean sheets in the next two, but it does get a little bit more difficult for them after that. Arsenal second, it's similar with the fixtures, which then leaves me with Chelsea, who we're definitely not investing in at the moment. I think that's fair to say, whether it's Gusto, whether it's Chilwell. If you've got them, that's one thing, but buying into them new is definitely not. Which then leaves Newcastle, right? Newcastle are fourth for the best defence in the league, despite having played Man City, Liverpool, I think Brighton, Villa, Brentford. Like, to have the fourth best defence so far this season, playing arguably five of the best attacks so far this season, is really, really strong. So from a clean sheet point of view, they're definitely top.
Yeah. I mean, good on you for bringing in Shar last week. And again, now you have an opportunity to double up. I personally had a lot of money in the bank for this game week six to come up where I was looking at Trippier as an option. And you know, Harry, the narrative sort of is that like Trippier might get rested. There's like a Newcastle have a lot of fixtures coming up. But again, if you look at this like sort of ticker or this Lego Mane chart, they have, I'll say this quickly, they played Saturday, 2 day rest before, you know, San Siro game tomorrow, which is going to be tough. And then they have 4 full days rest before a Sunday game versus Sheffield. So I would assume that both Botman and Trippier start or and Shar as well. Then Man City lurking in the background, 2 days rest after. So I'm sure that's going to be a factor in how many minutes they might get if they play well against Sheffield. But the benefit here is that the next 3 games after that Sheffield game is all home games. So after Man City, they have 2 day rest for Burnley at home, 3 day rest for PSG at home, and then West Ham at home as well. So there is a confidence that they need to win Premier League games. They're going to try to do really well in the Champions League. It means a lot to the Newcastle fans. So I just feel like with the home games and the importance of these games, I don't see a scenario where Trippier gets rested in from here till game week 9. If so, maybe one game. But again, I'm very confident that he plays all these games. And so maybe a double up is on the cards for me.
Okay, interesting. I think, so just to mention quickly, a lot of people often say in the chat, well, why aren't you mentioning Dan Burn? Of all the defenders, Dan Burn has the best backup. in Lewis Hall. They spent a decent amount of money on him, and he is a great player. So for the same amount of money as Dan Byrne, you can buy Botman. Botman got 3 bonus points. He is very good for bonus points compared to Dan Byrne.
Why is that, by the way?
I don't know the underlying. Like, I think he makes more. I think his pass completion and number of passes is higher. I think that's what it is. He also created a big chance at the weekend, which wasn't scored, but from a corner he flicked it down, and then it was saved on the line. So he got that, which is why he partly beat Trippier to bonus points this week.
Okay.
I expect Botman to get more bonus points this season than Byrne does attacking returns. So people are thinking, well, Dan Byrne's huge, he's going to score some goals, but he actually doesn't. Shaar is actually the main goal threat from set pieces. He's often the one that they target. So for me, it is Botman at 4.5, Shaar at 5, and Trippier at 6.5. Of those three, Trippier does have the best backup. If you were to line them up, the centre-backs don't really have a backup. It's Lascelles or it's Dan Byrne at centre-back, and Dan Byrne doesn't play well when he plays there. Livramento in for Trippier is, on paper, the best backup. Now, whether we expect that to actually happen, we don't know. He is a great player, and we've known it in FPL before. I rate Livramento very highly. He'll get some minutes at some point, but I agree. I don't think Trippier misses maybe more than one in the next 6-7 game weeks.
Okay. So, by the way, Tachon makes a good point. West Ham is a away game. I meant to say the previous three games before the West Ham game is a home game. So, thanks for the clarification. On that point, Harry, yes, I want to dial it back a little. I made a statement that I think Trippier starts all the games. I'm confident that he has a chance of getting away with starting all these games, especially the Premier League games that we really want him to start for. But in terms of minute security, if you had to sort of rank the defenders, 1, 2, 3, can you give
Botman
your suggestion?
Botman 1, Shaar 2, Trippier 3.
Interesting.
Would probably be my order.
Yeah, so you're confident Botman and Shaar just continue to start.
I just don't, particularly because Shaar's backup is Lascelles, right? Mm-hmm. Because they can't, because he's the right-sided centre-back. In theory, they could play Byrne left side, Botman right side, but I do not see that happening. So his backup really is Lascelles, and I just don't really see that coming. I think Trippier, I mean, Shaar's, I think, 31. Trippier's about the same, I think, in terms of age. So Botman is by far the youngest as well. He's like 24, right? So I feel like Botman is by far the most nailed.
Mm-hmm.
By far, I feel. Well, I think they're all pretty nailed, but Botman is like 99% compared to the others being maybe 90, I would say. So yeah, Botman is definitely first. Shaar, I feel like, is second just because of the backup being weaker compared to Trippier's backup being better.
Okay, so if that's the case, and I think a lot of people are disagreeing with me about Trippier getting a rest, so, fine. Do you think Trippier's sort of XGI is worth, forget about price, worth going for? Because I think price is not a non-factor for those that might be able to bring him in. Would you consider him over, okay, let's say Botman is the number one pick. Would you consider him over Shaar as a second pick?
So I watched the Newcastle-Brentford game at the weekend, and I didn't enjoy not owning Trippier. It was like, it felt like the Trippier of days gone by. So, if price was not a factor, which of course it is playing this game, the upside of Trippier's attacking returns is worth the additional potential rotation risk, is where I'm at. However, if you do start to add in the price, does that sway it a little bit, potentially? So, one thing to bear in mind is if you're going Trippier is when you're going to wildcard, right? Okay. Trying to build a team with Mo Salah, Erling Haaland, and then two mid-price mids with Kieran Trippier in your team is very difficult. I've tried to do it for sort of game week 8, 9, 10 onwards, and you're leaving out someone you don't want to leave out. However, if you go Botman or Shaar or both of them, it makes life easier to do. Now, if you're going to wildcard in game week 8, 9 or 10, and that is your route to go and get Mo Salah in, then I feel like going Trippier now is a no-brainer, because The upside is nice. There, and you can take the money out of Trippier when you go to play your wild card. So you can do it that way. But if you're not set on wildcarding and you actually plan on, you've either played your wild card or you plan on playing it further down the line and you're not playing it in that game week 8 to 10 window to buy Mo Salah and you're going to try and buy Mo Salah with transfers, Trippier makes it very, very difficult. And I've tried to do it. So that's part of the reason I didn't buy him this week is I actually think I'm going to try and save my wild card later on in the season. So I don't think I'm going to end up buying Trippier. I may end up going double, but it will be Botman share and it won't be Trippier.
I mean, we're going on a tangent here, but have you figured out a way to get Salah if you're going to wild card later down the line?
Yes.
And how can you
reveal your secret? I mean, I could do it this week. I could do Chilwell to Botman. I could do Bruno to Salah, and then I'd sell Jackson. I'd have to get Morris. The only slight downgrade there is if I could do it and it was Jackson to Alvarez, Bruno to Sattler, and then Chilwell to Botman, I would have done it already, I think. But the Morris downgrade over Alvarez is something we'll talk about. I feel like that's a big enough downgrade to make it, to doubt it, to do it this week. But I think I've got enough routes to get there. I think it might take a minus -4, potentially a minus -8. But I think a minus -8 is worth saving the wild card for. It won't need anything more than that, personally. In the way, that's why, like, I went Shah this week. It's why, yeah, there's been a few things that I've just tried my best to save a little bit of money to do. Yeah. So,
go ahead.
So, I suppose my conclusion to people is, if you are going to wild card to buy Salah, or you already have Salah, Trippier is first. If you're not, then it's Botman.
Yeah. Very interesting. I mean, West Ham, Aston Villa, Diaby, Bowen, they might become a factor by the time 9-10 comes around for someone like you who's trying to save it. And I see good reason to save it because it's not like super, super drastic differences, right? Plus, the next wild card's going to be way later down the line. So there might be a huge advantage to saving it for, let's say, game week 15, 16, 17, 18, something like that. So interesting. It's good that we're having this Newcastle conversation because, I didn't really consider Shar and Botman double up over Trippier, but sounds like if we're wild carding in game week 9 and 10, Trippier is a no-brainer, according to you.
Nice. The final question: is there any defender you would buy this week that doesn't play for Newcastle? Or is it simply, if you are buying a defender this week, you buy one of them? If you've already got one, you buy another one of them. Is it as simple as that? Or is there any defender you'd buy?
Yeah. My perception of this is a little bit skewed because I've been sort of really bullish on, not bullish, but really sort of planning towards a game week 9 or 10 wild card. So if you look at the fixtures from here till then, there's no real like fixture screamer in terms of teams with great defensive fixtures. But, you know, I was like looking at that Brentford Newcastle game and I really wanted Jensen in my team. Only issue is he's, a midfielder. So besides that, I don't think there's a clear shout, and Newcastle double defense Newcastle defender, I think, is the priority if you're going to go make a defensive switch this week.
The only other one, and just to mention, if you are wildcarding in game week 10, Brentford have Everton, Forest, Burnley as three of their next four. It doesn't sound like Rico Henry is going to be available. We don't know anything for sure, but it doesn't sound good for Rico Henry. But there are others in there at a cheap price, like Pinnock, for example. Yeah. But you only have three good fixtures in the next four, whereas Newcastle have four. They're probably the only team that I would even slightly consider, but I think I would just buy the Newcastle guys. Because Rico Henry is the most attacking, and if he's not going to play, then you are just buying for clean sheets. So you may as well buy Newcastle for clean sheets.
Correct. I mean, I wouldn't go say it's a bad decision. I still believe in Brentford as a team, and I feel like, regardless of the XGC stats, they're a very solid team, right? So maybe if you want to go differential, I get it. Try to get their clean sheets. A very important question on defense, Harry, is that we haven't talked about Chilwell. Chelsea fan. We talked previous to starting live today, right? Like, I'm not so certain that selling him is the right decision, but what are your thoughts on Chilwell?
So I have just seen a tweet from Scout on him, but it's quoting what Pochettino said yesterday. There are very mixed reports about why Chilwell missed out. Pochettino said that he wanted to play a more attacking player, but the commentators said that he had a knock, which is really weird. Why, if he had a knock, did the commentators have information that wasn't given publicly? Were the commentators wrong? Or was Pochettino just not telling us everything? So there is a lot going on. I found it bizarre that he was benched. I really did. I thought Mudryk starting was the right decision, but then we still have Levi Colwill playing left back. So Chilwell at left wing is an experiment that hasn't worked so far this season. But why suddenly is Levi Colwill playing left back? Maybe he doesn't want to unsettle it, but I don't really think that that works massively. I personally think he comes back in for the Villa game, but I don't quite know where. The issue with Chilwell at left back and Mudryk at left wing is they both come centrally. Neither of them like to stay wide. So they both end up occupying the same space, which Pochettino doesn't massively love.
Okay.
I can't see us. Again, it's weird because he's vice captain, right? And with Reece James out, he's naturally our club captain, which shouldn't necessarily make a difference. But Pochettino made him our vice captain. It's not like he inherited Chilwell in that position. Poch made James our captain and Chilwell our vice captain. Like, he saw them and decided that that's what he was going to do. So I personally think he comes back in. Whether then the system against like Fulham and Burnley the couple of weeks later means that Mudryk is favoured in those games again, I don't know. But just because he comes back in doesn't mean I necessarily expect him to score any points. So I find it hard. Jackson, we'll talk about, is a much easier sell for me than I think Chilwell is. But if Chilwell downgrade frees up money to do another move, then do it with no hesitation, I think. But I think Chilwell is a harder sell than maybe some of the others, because I do expect him to start against Villa, but I don't necessarily expect us to beat Villa. So,
yeah, very, very interesting. I also agree with you. I think it was a tactical decision, which is pretty wild. I think the commentators got it wrong. I don't think they know fully. I'd be surprised if Poch came out and said it was sort of an injury-based decision or a tactical decision. He's probably not going to say much. But if you look at the sort of Lego money chart once again, it's not like Chelsea have the worst sort of rest days in between, right?
Yeah.
So I guess my question to you is that, first of all, most of us are going to go to a Newcastle defender through an Arsenal defender, is my assumption.
So
do you go make that second move? Or maybe some people have to do the Chilwell to Newcastle move, which is fine. If that was a second sort of move you were making, and I get the point you're saying that Aston Villa clean sheet's going to be hard to come by, Chilwell position is a question mark. Is he going to get attacking returns? You know, Chelsea have been shambolic, but they've also just kept a clean sheet. Do you think he gets the starts between Villa, Fulham, and Burnley the next three Premier League games?
Do I think he starts all three? Probably not.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I would say I'm not confident he starts all of the next three, particularly with the like Burnley, Fulham games. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fran is saying the team balance looked not great with
Chilwell coming in.
Chilwell left back. It's different when they come on as subs though, compared to like, he hasn't played there at all this season. So it has been like a little bit in pre-season, but generally it's been like 4 months since he's played left back. So I'm not that surprised by that. If he comes in from the start, then I think it looks much, much more comfortable. We're not going through this season. I refuse to believe we're going through this season as Levi Colwill as our left back. I love him and I rate him, but he's not Ben Chilwell as a left back, who's been at times one of the best left backs in the country, so in the league. So I think he plays, but I'm not confident at all he plays all of the next three. And if that's the case, then like, there's not much point holding on to him.
Yeah, and also to add on to that, it's not like his rotation with the other popular defenders we have is great. Like, you know, Brighton do play Liverpool in game week 8, I believe, whereas Stupinon, first of all, Stupinon didn't even play this game week. So that says a lot about his sort of asset value as a FPL player. You know, I think maybe, you know, it's not like Udogie can play the next two game weeks either, unless you're banking on attacking returns against Arsenal and Liverpool. So yeah, potentially Chilwell is going to be a hard sell for me, but there's still that allure with Chilwell, right? Just that sort of underlying bias that Chilwell, James, Tuchel, you know, amazing attacking defender is still sort of the storyline for me. So
yeah,
it's going to be a tough sell, but I do think that if you're going to go to a Newcastle defender, it's fair play.
Cool. On to midfielders. So all we've got up on screen now is, I think, the top 15 or so defenders by XGI. And then you've again got it split by XG and XA. So you can see the breakdown. So, of course, you want someone high up on this list, but you also want someone who's weighted towards XG over XA. So, for example, Mbeumo's stats is exactly what you want, right? So high up, top of the list, and it's all weighted towards XG. Whereas you look at Bruno, third on the list, but he has more XA than he does XG as well, right? So, I mean, the main things we need to talk about here. Firstly, we can mention the Spurs performance, but I think a lot of people are just... Spurs now just fall into hold, right? So they play Arsenal and Liverpool in the next two. I don't think you're investing new. I don't think many people would invest in you, particularly after the performance against Sheffield United, although the space in behind against these clubs may favour Spurs more than the Sheffield United game did. But I don't think you're investing new, and I also don't think you're selling them either. So just, I suppose, Spurs is the first talking point because they were the big talking point going into game week 5. They're just holds for me.
I 100% agree. I'm quite excited to own Sun the next two game weeks. This is all biases aside. Like, these are the games we want for a player like Sun to sort of excel against the back line. Again, it could be tough games, shutout games, but Arsenal, you know, Sun has historically done pretty decent against Arsenal. So excited for this. Udogie, you know, I think you just keep him in the team for the next two game weeks, and then you have him for game week 8 against Luton. So definitely a hold for me.
Yeah.
But Harry, before you go on, I do have to do a quick plug for Scout, just because we forgot in the beginning. So guys, I'm going to read this. The new Champions League season is just around the corner. And if you're playing the fantasy game this season, FF Scout has you covered with the UCL Fantasy Pod from the fantasy football community. I believe it's the first time they've doing a UCL pod. So available to all major platforms. You can get the best advice and analysis and strategy and chip plans for UCL Fantasy. Follow Fantasy UCL Pod on Twitter. Subscribe and get all the latest news. Also on that note, do hit the like button for us. You know, Harry has done a great job the last few weeks of holding down the fort. Exciting to be back potting with him this week. And we really appreciate the support so far this season. Do hit the like button and subscribe to the FF Scout channel if you can. But go on, Harry.
Cool. So the next one is Manchester United. And just before that, I want to read you some breaking news from all over the Manchester United forums as they come in. Aaron Wan-Bissaka out for up to 2 months after sustaining a hamstring injury in the final few minutes against Brighton.
Yep.
Well, that doesn't help them any more than they already are, but it does mean, like, I mean, we're not going to buy them, but Dallow and Reguilon are going to play every week, aren't they? So...
I saw rumors about this, so now it's officially confirmed. He's out.
Yeah,
for a while.
So it's been one of the Manchester United Athletic journalist has published it. So anything that comes through the Athletic is, I feel like, is one of the top sources. So yes, Dallow, and then it should be Reguilon on the other side, I think. But we're past defenders, but they are quite cheap. But I don't think I'm going to be advising buying any Manchester United players despite the fixtures. Dallow is 4.9. Don't think so. Reguilon is 4.4, to be fair.
Yeah, just a series of unlucky... There's just no luck at the club right now.
No.
That's just the fact. It's just football, right?
Yeah.
Is Dallow a buy by any chance?
4.9. I'd rather Reguilon at 4.4.
Their fixtures are decent. I mean, we did talk about their congestion, but we know Dallow's going to be playing. Reguilon's probably playing week in and week out now, right?
I can't see who from their squad would play left back. I don't know how long Luke Shaw's out for, to be fair. I feel like it was a while, but I don't know how much, because that was a couple of weeks ago. I still think he's out for a while, but if you're buying Reguilon, probably worth having a look at how long Shaw's out for. But anyway, to talk about Manchester United, I would say the biggest talking point in midfield this week, if it's not Spurs, first of all, is maybe Sterling. Sterling, for me, if that free kick goes in again, right, people aren't necessarily that worried on Sterling, but it does go hand in hand with the Chelsea performances. He is highly involved, but I did see a return of 2022-23 Sterling over the past couple of games. And that was my worry after the Luton game, is that he will just regress to what we've seen before from him. Sterling is a happy sell for me. The issue is actually suddenly, is who on earth do we buy in the midfield, right? Because suddenly I was like, oh, well, I'm going to sell Fernandes this week. And then I looked at the options and I thought, I don't actually want any of them this week. Diaby's next two games would be the one, right? But he plays Brighton and Chelsea in his next two. He can score against them, right? But am I selling Sterling with Villa, Fulham to Diaby? Am I selling Fernandes with Burnley this week to go and buy Diaby away at Chelsea? Chelsea have not attacked well, but we've defended okay so far this season. So I suppose there's two points there. Is A, do we want to sell Fernandes, Rashford and Sterling? But actually, is there anyone we want to replace them with?
I am very surprised you think Sterling's a sell. I thought Sterling was fine. I mean, how many players in the Premier League can dribble through a team and get to sort of the inside the 18-yard box? And again, it's a team-based thing because Nicholas Jackson can't score from half a yard away from goal. And we remember that XG chance, big chance he had in the previous game week. But
yeah,
I think Sterling as an individual is doing fine. You just think the team is not performing?
The team performances would really concern me. He's definitely the best attacker that we have. But are you talking about the goal against Luton where he dribbled through and scored?
No. Just over the last few games, he's been still quite threatening.
But I just never have seen end product from him in a Chelsea shirt consistently for so long. And Sterling hasn't done anything for years. It's a little bit harsh in the chat, but it's the consistency of actual finishing chances that I haven't seen from him. And then, okay, maybe he's going to create chances, but it's Jackson trying to get on the end of the chances, which is then equally concerning.
Yeah, fair.
So I think people will end up holding him because the replacements are not there at the moment.
Yeah.
There's only two midfielders in the game that I'd want to buy this week. That might seem crazy, but I think there's only two in Brian Mbeumo and Mo Salah that I'd actually be actively wanting to transfer in this week, which then leads me on to when I talk about Bruno Fernandes and Marcus Rashford, that I might end up keeping them for Burnley. Marcus Rashford's looked really good in the past couple of games. From an FPL point of view, he's been great because he's been very selfish. He's had a lot of shots in goal and he's been highly involved. And Højlund coming in has been very good for Rashford, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Bruno's been less good over the past two. Rashford was not great in the first couple and has got better. Bruno was good and has got worse.
Yeah. I mean, he's playing center back, right? So, no, I get it. I think in the chat, Alex Micah makes a good point. Sterling has been an amazing footballer, but the fact that the team's not performing exactly why he's a sell, I get it, right? That game, you guys should have won. I mean, you guys have spent like $1 billion recruiting these players. You know, you should be winning against Bournemouth, even though, hey, shout out Bournemouth fans, like, great club. But, you know, Chelsea, for the amount of money they're spending, should be winning these games, or at least, you know, get very unlucky for not winning these games. But you're just, as a team, it's just shambolic right now. I don't know what Pochettino's doing. Mudryk is, Arsenal got away so far. Maybe he, you know, comes a good player in due time. But yeah, maybe we'd be talking about it differently if Jackson converted that Sterling assist the previous game week. And, you know, Jackson and Sterling both scored. Yeah. They both hit the post this game week. So that's my only sort of thing I would like to say. I think Sterling is a great player individually, but you make a very good point. You can be a great player, but in FPL, we need returns. And the fact that he's not getting returns is a problem. Yep. In terms of United, I really regret selling Rashford over Bruno for Son. Yep. they have one way of attacking right now, and that is to feed Rashford and let Rashford do that individual brilliance off the left and try to score. I don't think he moves to the right, although Garnacho is not even close to being Premier League level yet. And, you know, maybe Bruno goes out right, but Bruno just, he needs to be playing higher, and they just don't have the right players to, you know what it is? Like Casemiro is just unable to support. He used to cut off players if things went sour, right? And even, you know, Man United fans are very bullish on Martinez being a great player. He is a great player, but Martinez's level has dropped too. If Casemiro missed a cutoff, Martinez used to come up and sort of become a double Casemiro, if you know what I mean. And I think that core line is just really struggling. Again, I go back to the beginning of the pod where we talked about their fitness issues are all the way from the start of January. There's the Sancho thing. There's this Antony thing. There's Juan Bissaka thing. There was the whole like Saudi taking over and buying it off the Glazers, and now they're coming off and not selling it.
Yep.
There's just a whole lot going on with this club. I think Ten Hag has to come out with, I'm going on a tangent here, a different way to play, because they just do not have the fitness to be pressing right now.
I agree. João Palhinha is going to be fought over by clubs in January. You wait. Mm-hmm. There are so many clubs that could do with João Palhinha. He transforms that Fulham side, and I'm sure he would do well in a Manchester United shirt as well. Especially with the performances of Casemiro so far this season. I agree. It is just... So Rashford fields a hold. Sterling fields a hold. It's then Bruno. Maybe it's... I watch football a lot of the time from an FPL point of view, and I want to see Bruno further forward. I think he's more effective there. But I genuinely think they are better when Bruno Fernandes is playing in at least the 8, if not the 10.
100%. Right? 100%. He's so wasted playing deep. He should be close to the striker, next to Haaland, you know, way up there.
Yeah, correct. If they had a front three even of Rashford, Haaland, Fernandes, they'd be in a much better place than they are now. But anyway, so I suppose the question is okay, right, if we're deciding that Fernandes is sellable now, is who do we end up going and buying, right? So this is the issue that we have. Is actually replacements for him. Someone's asked about Eze in the chat, but I have a real... Teams know if they mark Eze out of games that they have a real good chance of beating Palace. We've seen it several times this season, which is a concern for me. Diaby's fixtures over the next two are not worth me selling Bruno for.
No.
So I still come back to the fact the only two players I'd sell Fernandes for this week are Brian and Mbeumo, with Everton and Forest in the next two. Even then, it's a question. And then Mo Salah is the other one. I don't think there's anyone else that I would buy, particularly looking at the data and the fixtures. I don't see anyone else that I sell Fernandes for this week. And I already own Mbeumo.
Yeah.
So
it's fair. I think the decision-making is simple because of the facts that there's nobody clear to go to. Again, I think we need patience. We've been talking really bad about, you know, Chelsea and Man United for a good reason, but it takes is one good game week, right? And so just hold on, I would say. I'm going to hold on to Bruno. I mean, I've been considering doing Bruno to Rashford again if I had no other transfers to make, but I think, you know, Bruno can easily get some points. He has more routes to points than Rashford, I believe, right? So yeah, I agree. There's no one really to go to. And I did the Salah thing. I tried to do Bruno to Salah, but it's just a lot of surgery to do that. So
yeah,
if you have Mbeumo already. Mbeumo, what a great pick from the start. Already a 0.4 rise, Harry. Yeah. So not much to go to in terms of midfields. I agree with you.
Happy with Mbeumo. I was very bullish on him start of the season, and happy to see it paying off. I agree. A few people have said West Ham assets, but realistically, are we selling Fernandes away at Burnley to buy James Ward-Prowse or Bowen going away to Liverpool this week? Absolutely, if you want to consider it in game week 7 when United have Palace, who are pretty stingy, versus if to go and buy West Ham assets for Sheffield United, then potentially. But I don't feel like you do it. It's not one of those that I'm going to do this week. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the final thing is very quickly on forwards. We spoke about Jackson, we've spoken about Alvarez. Jackson feels like a sell for me this week, partly because he's on 4 yellow cards, partly because he's also rubbish. to say it nicely, but he's missing chances, right? And actually, he wasn't highly involved, right? His data was good for the first few, but he hit the post from like 30 yards. Yes, he hit the post, but the keeper had it. Like, if it was going inside the post, I think he would have saved it. So Jackson, for me, is a sell. The question is who do we buy in his place? And there are a few options, actually. Alvarez is the main one. Edouard continues to put up good data and has good fixture this week. Continues to put up good data. Ollie Watkins, you go ahead of the Aston Villa curve. And then the only other one that I want to throw in there is Callum Wilson. The reason I mentioned Callum Wilson is Callum Wilson started this weekend. I presume Isaac will start the Champions League game midweek. Is it too much of a risk to try and predict what Eddie Howe's going to do?
Yeah, we've been there, right? We've been there last season.
Yeah.
There was a big variance between picking Wilson over Isak, I remember. I picked Isak and I was very envious of the Callum Wilson owner. So if you look at that experience that we have, it's almost like it's already hard to predict who's going to start.
Yeah.
But Callum Wilson is always going to play through central. And if they both start, Isak's going to move out left where he's pretty much not a good FPL asset, right? So I get the enticing factor with Callum Wilson,
yeah,
but it's just too hard to predict who starts and who doesn't start unless you confidently look into the Lego Manager chart and think about where you think he might start and you go for it according to your, own beliefs, right? But there's no right or wrong answer as to how many games he'll start and when he's going to start is my opinion on Callum Wilson.
Cool. So then, any thoughts on Edouard? Presumably, I mean, he's probably, maybe I'm just being blinkered, but I just don't think I'd buy him. The fixtures are okay. They play Fulham and Forest at home in the next three. But outside of that, it's United away, Newcastle away, Spurs. Like, the fixtures are not great. They're good short in the next three. But if you expand that, you'll end up selling him. And I don't think I would buy him over Morris. And I'm not that bullish on Morris anymore. But I think I would buy Morris before I bought him.
Strong words there.
Yeah, so it does leave me with two forwards in Morris and Alvarez. Of course, Morris has the double in game week 7, whereas Alvarez doesn't. It's probably the second best forward in FPL at the moment outside of Erling Haaland. So it's just, for me, it's Alvarez or taking a punt on Morris. But with me trying to save my wild card, Morris is a transfer in and a transfer out. That's two moves that I don't think I've got spare. And the chances are they'll fail to score in one of the next, looking at game week 6 and then game week 7 combined, so those three matches, they'll probably fail to score in at least one of those, looking at the way they're attacking. So it's not even like, it's like they've got two single game weeks effectively. So I'm quickly going off Luton and Morris having looked at them. Unless you're wildcard in game week 8 to 10, then maybe you want to take it as a punt, right? But if you were not wildcarding after game week 7, soon after, I don't think you buy Morris.
Yeah. It's a transfer, two transfers wasted on him. Again, the point about Morris is if you're wildcarding 9 or 10, then he's a genuine option in game week 7. We always want the double game week players, even though they play for Luton.
Again,
the question comes down to, do we want Edouard or Alvarez? And if you think, sure, Edouard's minutes are more secure, but think about Alvarez. We talked about it in the beginning. We are assuming he starts against Nottingham Forest. We're assuming he starts in game week 8 against Arsenal. So right off the bat, you have two fixtures. And if he doesn't start in game week 7 against Wolves, which is the one I was questioning because of the tightness of fixtures, then you have Morris that could potentially play there again as your third striker option if you're able to get there. So I don't know. Edouard and Crystal Palace, it's just never been an enticing factor for me in terms of bringing them in. It's a personal opinion, but if you want to bring him in, he's been looking good, so fair play. Yeah.
Cool. A final couple of shouts that I think are worth mentioning from the chat. The first of which is Awanyi. Of course, Nottingham Forest play tonight. The issue with them is they go away to Manchester City in game week 6. So if you want Awanyi and you decide Awanyi is your best forward, you probably keep Jackson this week and you play Jackson at home to Villa and you buy Awanyi in game week 7 for Brentford at home. I don't see a world where people buy Oanyi this game week, really. When if you've got Jackson, I'd rather chance it on Jackson against Villa than go Oanyi this week. The other one is Dominic Solanke. But again, Bournemouth go Brighton away, Arsenal at home in the next two. I just don't see now being the time to buy over those forwards. There may well be opportunities. Solanke's been a great asset for us at times last season. I will always have a place in my heart for Dominic Solanke after his 17-pointer. It's been a while since I've mentioned that. 17-pointer away at Spurs last season, which, if I hadn't mentioned it before, I had Solanke in my team for 17 points against Spurs last year. But apart from that, I don't think I'll be buying those two, especially where they sit on the fixture ticker. So it feels like Alvarez or Morris if you really want to punt it. But if you knew Alvarez was going to start the next two, there's no way you buy Morris, right?
No way. I think
Morris in three games.
Oh, okay. You're considering game week six as well.
Yeah. Yes.
That's a different story then. Yeah. I agree. Mm-hmm. But if it was game week seven only, Morris versus Alvarez, and
was going to start that, then no, I'd still buy Alvarez. I think I'd rather Alvarez in a single. Yeah. The only thing is, if there are people who are in a situation that can buy both.
Yeah.
The only thing is, in game week seven, is then you've got to find someone else to bench, right? Spurs are at home to Liverpool. So are you going to bench Madison? Are you going to bench him? Realistically, Morris is not worth a transfer to bench Madison, I don't think, in that week.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see many other highly owned midfielders that people might want to bench in order to play Haaland, Alvarez.
Well, the assumption is that what if Alvarez doesn't play game week seven?
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go Alvarez this week and you find out Alvarez doesn't start in game week seven and you can do Archer to Morris, then understandable, right? I can understand
that.
But if the issue is we won't, I don't think City, I think City are, when do they play in game week seven? So they play 3 o'clock on Saturday. It's possible that we know, but it's also possible that we don't know. And if you don't know, there's no one else that I'd really want to bench. Like United have Palace at home, Arsenal go away to Bournemouth, Newcastle have Burnley at home, City of course have Wolves away, Spurs have Liverpool at home. If you've got Sterling, he's got Fulham away, and Bueno's got Forest away. There's no one that I'm benching for Morris that week, I don't think. So
yeah.
Unless you want to go as a real punt and you're wildcarding very soon afterwards, for me, it's Alvarez over Morris.
Yeah. Fair.
Cool. We've been live for just over an hour. So it's our longest one yet. We have done defenders, midfielders, forwards as well. So very quickly, just looking at our teams for next week, taking into account what we have said, what's your plan going into game week six? Two free transfers for you or just one?
Yeah, two free transfers, 2.2 in the bank.
Okay.
One thing I would like to mention, by the way, is that rank is so doesn't matter, to be honest. First of all, our ranks up here, I don't think they even include our post subs, as well as, we have Turner left to play.
Yeah.
I think what's more important is that it's how many points you are behind or forward against the engaged managers, which we're playing against. And I think I'm only just 50 points away from the top 10K, for example, which goes to show how close I am to top 500K, top 100K, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
It's just one or two hauls or, two or three players playing better than one player from the general public, let's call it. So I would focus more on the points to be had. And again, I got away from a Haaland disaster class in terms of captaining Sun, but it was just a 4-point difference, right? Because Sun 4 plus, or sorry, yeah, I think it was just a 10 versus 14-point difference. So just a 4-point difference in the end.
Yeah.
And so that doesn't, even if Haaland had a masterclass and I was, 10, 20 points behind, I wouldn't rush to doing differential captains and stuff. We've played 5 game weeks. There's still 33 game weeks left to go, double game weeks and all sorts of stuff to come up. So just kind of be patient for those that may be in the 2 million, 3 million rank. It's not a factor. It's just how many points you are behind. So this game week, I'm thinking about doing Trippier for sure. So I can easily get from Gabriel to Trippier, keep Chilwell, and then do Alvarez, the Alvarez move. But I forgot that if I do that, then I don't have enough money to go Archer to Morris in game week 7, because I thought Morris was just 5.0, but I guess he's 5.5. So that's a factor that I'm going to sort of marinate throughout the week. But I've also considered not going for Alvarez and potentially doubling up on the Newcastle defense. So if I wish I had 3 transfers. If I had, I would go Chilwell, Gabriel out for double Newcastle, and then do Jackson to Alvarez. But most likely it's Trippier and Alvarez in, or double defense Newcastle.
Cool.
Please let me know what you think, Kerry.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. Like, a Superman's good this week. Yeah, preferably benching Udogie is also the right idea. So yeah, like an Arsenal defender, a Newcastle defender in is definitely the way to go. The issue is I'd probably sell Gabriel, because then you could keep Chilwell this week, right? And then do the Jackson move is probably the way I'd favour. I'm looking at mine and I'm thinking something similar. I'm not going to make a midfield transfer, I don't think, this week. Unless I find a way that I can't see at the moment of getting Salah in. I've got 2 million in the bank, 2 free transfers, but I wouldn't want to do it for a hit. So like Fernandez up to Salah, like I can't, it doesn't leave, I'd have to do Jackson to like a 5 million forward. So it doesn't really work.
I think to get to Salah, you might be able to do a 4-5-1, no? If you were to forgo Alvarez and a second striker, could you do that in 2 moves?
What?
Like just Jackson to a dead spot, and then, oh, actually you can't because you need 3 transfers then.
Yeah, and I'm not playing a 4-5-1. Like what I could, like it could be a -4, right? I could do Jackson to, a dead, like Jackson down, Fernandez up, and Chilwell down as well, but I don't think it's worth it. So I'll probably end up selling Jackson for Alvarez, and then I'm not 100% sure if I'll use the other one. I'm not certain on it. I am just basically building to get Salah in game week. Salah and Son in game week 8 is my plan for for Saka and Bruno, and I have to find the money to do it somehow. So Chilwell would be downgraded. Like at some point I'm going to do Pickford to Areola as well to free up a bit of money there. I probably need one more transfer to try and free up some money, and I'm not certain where that's going to be yet. So that's the plan, and that's what I need to try and work out. But I think Jackson to Alvarez is going to happen this week.
Beautiful, beautiful. Cool. Guys, please do hit the like button. It really helps us out. I think our last episode we did the most views for our season so far. So really appreciate the support. Sorry if I've been looking down throughout the podcast, because I am traveling. This is like, I'm looking at my phone for sort of the live chat and notes. Harry, I think it's been a, great pod as well. It was good to like talk to you about all the thoughts we have. And it's good that we do it on a Monday at times, because it helps me sort of digest everything in early on and then really think about it throughout the week. So I really appreciate everybody joining in today. Any final words from you, Harry?
No.
We've got to do a plug. Yeah.
Oh, what, for the UCL pod?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Scout are, let me get the handle of it. But of course, anyone playing UCL fantasy, there is, of course, the first round of fixtures starting this game week. So yeah, if you are considering it, Fantasy Football Scout do have you covered. So there is a UCL fantasy pod from the fantasy football community. Go and have a look. Follow Fantasy UCL Pod on Twitter. They will be giving you everything you could possibly need for the first time to get you all up and running for the new Champions League season. It is a painful season not watching Chelsea in the Champions League this season. It is going to be a while as well before I get any European football, let alone Champions League. But if you guys are playing it, make sure to go and check them out. Fantasy UCL Pod on Twitter and on all your favorite podcast platforms as well.
Nice. Should we do some questions, actually? I have some time.
Yeah, we'll do a few questions. So we've got the chat up on screen. Fire your questions away. We'll do 5 and then we will wrap things up. So What are my thoughts on the Manchester City midfielders outside of course, Alvarez playing up front, Doku and Foden? So my initial thought is Doku looks great, but Grealish is not out for very long. And that will be a concern as soon as Grealish is back. Foden is a fine hold for now, but I'm not sure I'd be buying in new. It's probably where I stand on them.
Nice. Lots Anything of kind comments. Thank you, guys. Alvarez versus Moores. I think we tackled that. Definitely Alvarez, right?
Yeah, if we know Alvarez starts, like, it's straightforward, yeah, I think. Holding three Chelsea players with one free transfer, time to wild card. No, because I think we decided Sterling was a reasonable hold and Chilwell can be held if needs be. So Jackson to go. The other two are fine. I would, if you can, I'd probably try and get to game week 8 before playing your wild card.
Yep, yep. Cool. Brian, thoughts on a -4/-8 instead of wild card? Well, look out for burning questions because Harry's on that route. So maybe yeah. You guys share the same journey.
Brian, if it's -4/-8 this week to save the wild card,
oh, okay. Yeah.
That's a little bit more difficult because you may end up having to take more hits in game week 8 onwards to try and get to the wild card team. In that case, I still don't think the wild card in game week 6 is valuable enough. I think I would still do a -4 and get to game week 8 and play a wild card then perfectly, personally. Yeah.
Some good questions, actually. JWP or Bowen from Bravo, and is JWP a shout from GC? Yeah, I think JWP is very interesting. He's playing a lot more higher than what we're used to at Southampton, and
yeah. He
looks very passionate and sort of... looks good. So yes, but at the same time, I am not sure, you know, if he's a viable pick over the ones we have already. So
yeah, I agree.
Not sure I'm there.
He's one of the ones that I'd buy if I was playing draft or I was like trying to enjoy nice. The game rather than just yeah. like focusing purely on trying to like gain rank. He's a fun player to watch. He's playing very far forward. But with their fixtures of Liverpool, Newcastle, my sensible head says now is not the time to be buying them.
Agree. Maybe two more?
Yeah, thoughts on a game week 9 wild card. So the issue with game week 9, so game week 8 is when Liverpool starts. You also have Manchester City versus Arsenal as well. So game week 8 has its benefits. And if you have no Spurs... Game week 8 works really well. Game week 10 also works well because Manchester United play Manchester City. Plus, there are other fixture swings in there, like Villa looks really good, particularly from game week 10 onwards. And you can actually go then with one Spurs asset. You'll probably have to pick either Son or Madison. Whereas if you wildcard game week 9, you'll probably have both for 1 week and then have to sell one to try and get to the squad that you want. So I don't really feel like 9 does anything more than 8 or 10. So I think 8 and 10 are probably the best 2 weeks, in my opinion.
Nice.
One
good
more?
Breakout, breakdown there. Yeah.
Where do you want to go?
Oh, man, there's a couple of good questions. I like this meta question by Taichon. Is it a bad strategy to target lesser team players who are not in the CL Europa League? I mean... you know, you don't even have to do that because Spurs, yeah. Chelsea are not in Europe, right? So they're not really like lesser teams, what's so call it. But yeah. I don't think it's that straightforward, like that those mm-hmm. questions. Yeah,
I wouldn't buy like someone lower just because they don't have European football. But it does mean the likes of Spurs do become very appealing as long-term holds because chances are Son, Madison, Udogi are going to play almost every game.
Cool. Russell, we talked about Newcastle strikers. If you want to go back to it, we'll do timestamps after. But
yeah,
there we go.
Yeah, no Chelsea. Yeah, that's true. Chelsea don't have Champions League, but still wouldn't be buying them probably. Cool. Well, that is all we have time for today. Thank you all very much for joining. Andy, great to have you back. I think we'll be back, the two of us, for the foreseeable future now as well. There is a lot to think about this week, but it does feel like one of those game weeks where everyone needs to take a little minute, accept that good FPL picks do blank in some game weeks as well, and actually just look at your teams and decide which are good assets that blanked and which are actually bad FPL assets going forward. Enjoy yourself. It's a lot to cover this week.
Yeah. One last thing I'll say for the few remaining. Again, please do, you know, support the channel, hit the like button. And before the pod, I was talking to Harry about us bringing Pross on as a guest very, very soon. I'm excited for that. Harry had to say, I think Pross has gone a little rogue this season. So I'm excited to have my brother back and sort of pick apart his brain on and how he's been doing this season. But yeah, hopefully as a guest very, very soon.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be nice to have him on. It was just I suddenly saw a side to Praz. We decided to go and get Son this week. But I was like, God, look at him go. Look at him go. I wish I could have been that bullish. But then, you know, none of the mids ended up scoring anything. Anyway, thank you all for joining. Have a great rest of your week. For podcast listeners as well, do give us a 5-star review. Thank you all very much for listening. And we'll be back again next week.
Thank you, guys.